Hi, everybody. It's Michael Trotta. Today is March 14th, 2016. I am with Coach to Coach 3, Practicum. Oh, Coach to Coach Practicum 3. That's how it goes. This is Class 2, the Metaphor Tool. I am with Group A, and today we're going to talk about the Metaphor Tool. This is October 2015 cohort. I think I got it in there. Cool. All right. So, Metaphor Tool. I'm going to just launch right into it. First, I'm glad, by the way, actually, that you're all here. We were just talking behind the scenes about it's daylight savings, so we had a small group, but it's grown. We've got actually a really nice size group right now. So Metaphor Tool. What do I want to say about it before we start working with it? So this tool is, I think, one of the most profound tools that we have in all the things that we do, and it is incredibly flexible for the ways that you use it. However, my experience has been teaching it on the phone. It takes a little while to get comfortable with for a lot of people. And so I'm going to ask that you all be really willing to get messy today. And it is totally cool with me, and probably even I'd be excited about it. If we just get into it, if things feel like they're going off, we stop. Remember, the focus is really on learning about the nuances of the tool. It's almost secondary to coaching the client on this call around the issue. Obviously, with paying clients and people that you're working with privately, it's a different story. But so that we get this tool, well, let's get messy with it. So my experience with the tool, just so you know, when I first learned it in my own LCT, I was like, oh, this is a cool tool. But again, because it was over the phone, it took me a while to become comfortable with it until I realized that I had actually been using a form of the Metaphor Tool for many, many, many years in several different areas of my life. And I had been doing it largely with things that I loved to do. So my earliest experience with it, and I'm sharing all of this with you because my intention and want is that you start to see that you're probably using it too elsewhere in your life. And you can draw upon that as a touchstone, you know, and build from there. So for me, when I was in my early 20s, I picked up fly fishing, and I loved it. I loved being in the water. I loved catching fish. I loved not even catching fish. I didn't care. Learning about the different bugs and being outside and the fresh air and the casting that line, it was just, it brought me alive. And after getting the fundamentals of fly fishing down, I started to realize that there seemed to be a relationship between how I showed up at the stream that day and whether or not I caught fish. I mean, it might sound kind of obvious now, but then it was totally mind-blowing to me. And so days when I'd go to the pond or the stream and I'd get in the water and I was all in my head and all angry about something or frustrated or worried or whatever, you could probably watch me cast the line. A fly fishing's where the big white or yellow line goes back and forth and makes all the big swirly, nice-looking ribbon-type streams. So when I was all in my head, forget it. I'd get hooked in trees. I'd get hooked on branches. It was awful. And when I was in a good space, it was much better. And so then I just started to kind of play around with, I'd be out there, I'd be doing a horrible job, and I'd start to ask myself, what is going on? What am I noticing in my body? What am I noticing about the thoughts that I'm having? And I would just take a few minutes to kind of acknowledge them and process them and either put them aside or ask myself, how would I want it to be different? And I would link that to how I want it to be casting different. And while it was kind of a clumsy way, initiation into the Metaphor Tool, it really did start to ground me in an understanding of it. So that years later, when I started to actually lead initiations, ceremonies, through this native tradition that I had been taught and initiated into, where we would work with men and adolescent boys, And essentially what they had to do was tend a fire for 24 hours. I'm leaving out all the ceremony and circumstance around it. But what it was, the idea was that the fire was a symbol of themselves, of their inner fire. And over a period of time, while they were tending their fire, they'd be visited by what we call elders or uncles. Like, I would show up at your fire, and I'd ask you, tell me about your fire. The young fellow there would be like, well, you know, it's okay. I wish it was bigger. I have some rocks around it, but, you know, and I would just kind of probe with the questions, like, well, what do you like most about it? What do you like least about it? And as they would describe it to me, they thought they were describing the fire. But I was going with the line of thinking that they're describing themselves, or at least a part of themselves in their lives. And so I would invite them then to identify what it was, like I said, about the fire that they weren't so satisfied with, and ask them, well, what would you like to do different then? If you don't like the container that you created for your fire, how would you do it differently? And they would say things like, you know, I'd clean up the area a little bit. I'd put rocks around it, and I'd neaten the actual fire up so it wasn't burning all over the place. And I'd say, great, why didn't you do that? And then they would actually have the physical experience of doing it. And then we would just sit there and let time go by, and then I'd go, so where in your life is there a part of you where the fire looked messy like it did before? And 9 times out of 10, they would immediately know. It would be their relationship with dad or something going on at school or whatever it was. But they would almost immediately know a place in their life where it was messy, just like the fire. And then they would tell me about it. And then I'd say, well, how did you fix the fire? How did you get it the way you wanted? And they'd say, well, I put stones around it. And then I would say, so what in the situation that you described at school would be like putting stones around it? What are the things that you would need around to contain things a little better? And they would think for a while. Sometimes they wouldn't know and they would just want more time thinking about it, and I'd go away and come back later. And other times they would know right away. Oh, yeah, the stones. Well, I don't do my homework. I don't study. I don't report into the teacher, whatever it was, you know. Those would be like the things that would make my work better, make my experience better. And then from there, we'd be like, well, is that something you want to do? And we'd set little goals, and they would come up with little agreements, and they'd recognize that ultimately they were the ones responsible for tending their fire. And so at the end of this 24-hour period in this 5-4-day ceremony, once it's complete, what the initiation actually is an introduction to the understanding that each one of us are responsible tending our own fire. And for the rest of their lives, they have this metaphor, this image in their mind of their fire. And so they go back into that image and say, well, what's my fire look now? Like now? What's it look like now? What's it look like now? How could it be different? How would I like it to be? And so as a mentor and elder or uncle in these boys' lives, when I see them, I go, all I got to say is, how's your fire? And they know exactly what I mean. And so the exact same sort of thing can happen in coaching. I mean, really, that's what it is. It's coaching. And so there are a couple different ways to go into metaphors with your clients so that it can serve them the exact same way I just described. Now, there's going to be the on-the-phone metaphor building that we're going to do in just a minute. I really encourage each of you to think about what are some metaphors that you might like to play with if you were to do a live coaching experience as well. Because for a lot of people, it's really fun. And as a coach for myself, what I often do is I create programs around whatever it is I'm most interested at the time, using that thing I'm interested as a metaphor. So it might be fly fishing. In fact, I'm thinking about putting another one of those together. I've never actually done a coaching program around that, but I'm thinking about it. For years, it's been fire building. I've done a lot of work with Coel Simpson, who works with horses. All of these things are metaphors that can be used to help bring clarity to other areas of your life. And again, for me as a coach, one of the things that keeps coaching fresh and exciting is bringing my own personal interests into it and then inviting people to join me in that space to explore. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that sounds lovely. Yeah.
It really is. And you honestly can do it with anything. You can do it with quilting. You can do it with art. You can do it with sports. I do it all the time with nature. And there's also something just tremendously bonding when you go into a metaphor with another person, I think, especially when it's hands-on. But for now, and for this time and space, what we have is the art of conversation to explore metaphor. And just another one, one I use a lot is storytelling. I tell old stories, and then we use that as a metaphor for areas of life. So it can be done in a lot of different ways. For the sake of an hour-long coaching, let's just pretend. The metaphor typically shows up, and right now I'm thinking in one of two ways. One is your client hands you a metaphor, and they may not be aware of it. So when I'm coaching somebody, I'm listening for metaphors. And they'll say something like, my life is a garbage heap right now. And I'll go, oh, a garbage heap? Tell me, what does it look like? And sometimes they're like, what? I'm like, well, you said your life is a garbage heap. Close your eyes for a second. I'll say, close your eyes. I want you to picture the garbage heap that is your life and describe it to me. And they'll go into it and they'll be like, well, and I'll ask them about it. And I'll ask them to explore the garbage heap. How big is it? What kind of garbage is in it? What's around it? Is there anything flying above or running through it? And I'll just keep, well, the goal with the metaphor tool at this point is to have them describe the image that they see so well that you're seeing the same image. The hazard of the tool is that you are projecting your own ideas of what a garbage heap, like when I said garbage heap, everybody pictured a garbage heap in their mind. I almost guarantee it. But I also guarantee you we all pictured a different looking garbage heap. Mm-hmm. So you'd start questioning and questioning and questioning using your awareness of what you're putting out there in your own image and checking it. So, you know, are there any vehicles there? Like I said, are there any animals? What kind of garbage is in it? Where does the garbage come from? Who puts it there? What happens to it? How long does it stay there? And slowly your image gets, the images or the pieces that make up your image get switched with what they're telling you so that you guys are looking basically at the same thing. And for me, one of the things that I've found that's a really key question, I would write this one down for sure, is, well, two, what do you like most about the garbage heap? What do you like least about the garbage heap? And it's really that second question that's, because they're typically talking about areas of least satisfaction in their life. So by going into the metaphor and identifying parts of it that they like least, you can then ask, so how would you like it to be different then? You don't like that your garbage heap is covered in rats. What would it look like if it was the way you'd want it to be? You might say, well, there's no rats. I'd say, great. How could you get rid of the rats? What's one thing you can do in your mind's eye in this image? Get rid of the rats. And then see what happens. They might say, oh, I'd get a dog, or I'd have an exterminator come, or, you know, I don't know why I picked garbage heap, folks, but that's what came to my mind. Sorry. But what you're doing is you're problem solving in the imaginal space. You're problem solving in this metaphor. And then the other big key question is, so how is this like an area of your life? What in your life right now is that garbage heap? Or what's most like that garbage heap? And then going back to, what are those rats in your life? And then what is a real life solution? Does that make sense?
Yep.
And we'll see it play out here a little bit better, hopefully in a minute. But the idea is that you're taking something that a person is challenged by, and with a metaphor, you're removing them just one step from it so that they can look back at it in a, without being quite as threatened by it. I mean, I suspect all of us know what it's like to be challenged by something in our life and be so smack in the middle of it that we just can't see it for what it is. It feels huge. It feels to have enveloped us. But the metaphor allows us to just distance ourselves just enough to become a watcher of the problem and then to problem solve from a more creative, less threatened space. And if the metaphor tool can create even just a little bit of freedom, a little bit of possibility, you've done a great job with it. And I also, not that I want you to make excuses, but at the same time, if it doesn't go that way and it just it doesn't seem to be working for the client, it's okay to just back out of it. Say, you know what, is this working for you? All right, if it's not working, then let's go on. I have some other questions. Let's drop the metaphor for now. Sometimes what I found when I do that is the metaphor kind of sits there like a little seed. And the questions that you've already asked about it are there as well. And often in time, the client does get something from it. And they might come back to you the following week and say, you know, I could get the image of that stupid garbage heap out of my head and after the call, and this is what I realized. It's like, great. So I'm just sharing that because I know sometimes as coaches we can feel, you know, like we have to get the tool every single time or else we failed. That's not true. Sometimes the tools take time to develop and work. And just watch for that, okay? So that's,
Michael?
That's one. Yes.
I must have missed what you said. You said that they show up by either the first way is the client mentions one, and that was your garbage heap example. And
yep.
And how do we interject one if one?
That's just where I was going to go. Yep, that's the next.
Oh, sorry. So, okay. I thought you had covered it.
No, not at all.
Sorry.
The other way to do it is simply, and there's a lot of varieties of how you might do this, varieties of ways to do this, but client is talking about something literally as the problem. You know, my relationship with my spouse is just awful right now, and I don't know what to do about it. And you can hear the emotion, you can hear the concern, you know from working with them that there's a block here. Well, help them step into the metaphoric space. And what I often do is either simply just say, okay, so if your relationship was a thing, I want you to close your eyes and imagine it. Tell me what it looks like. And let them an image pop up. Sometimes people need a little bit more staging. So what I literally do is set a stage. I say, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to picture a stage. You know, like you're sitting in the audience of this stage or in the audience with a stage in front of you, and it's dark, and there's a spotlight shining right in the middle of the dark stage. And now all of a sudden, your relationship in whatever form it wants to show up in steps into that spotlight. Let that happen, and when it does, tell me what you see. And very often, well, I'm not going to say it because we're going to practice in a minute, but it's funny because there's a couple things that I don't know what it is, but people often have walk in the middle of that stage. And there's similarities is what I'm trying to say. And then I'll just start asking questions about it. Oh, what's it doing? How big is it? How small is it? Where's it going? Where did it come from? Tell me about the color. What texture is it? What kind of feeling do you get from it just looking at it? What do you like most about it? What is it about it that bothers you the most? How would you like it to be different? How is that like your relationship? Or how is the way you changed it? What's the thing in your relationship that you could use just like you used, just like you shrank the monster or you fed the whatever? And again, and that could be it. That's the second one. So does that help?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, it does.
Cool. So, and then again, the examples I gave before with the putting somebody in front of a fire or putting somebody in the ring with the horses or giving them some sort of challenge, however they go about the challenge, is often things will show up that, you know, Martha likes to say the way we do anything is the way we do everything. You could literally hand somebody an egg in a frying pan and say, fry this egg, and watch them. And in the way they're going about frying their egg almost will always speak of the way they go about problem solving. And you look for the areas where they're having some sort of struggle, even if it's just minutely, you know, like, oh, damn, I put the egg down and then I put the stove on and then I go back and get the egg. And like you can see that in their body and you could stop them right there in that moment and say, what's going on right now? Oh, I did this and I should have done that. There's the should have. Okay. And then you can just go into it. What would you have done differently? I would have brought the egg over to the pan before. And okay, so where else in your life are you going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, creating more work for yourself? And again, often they'll say something like, everywhere, or, you know, with the kids, or in my business, or great. So when you solve the problem with the egg in the frying pan, you said that you would carry all your materials over to the same spot. So first you would do just materials. Then you would do food preparation. Then you would do actual cooking. It sounds like you have some really clear action steps now for the egg front. How might that help you with your business? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's so much fun, and not to make any of you paranoid, but as you start to learn this tool and really start to pay attention to it, what you'll do is you'll start to watch other people and their problem solving and seeing where they get stuck. And at least in my mind, I can't help but say, I wonder where else they're doing that. And 9 times out of 10, or 10 times out of 10 really, there's other places in their life where they're struggling with the same pattern. Because it's not an egg anymore that we're talking about, it's a career. It's impacting them in a more significant way. And so playing with the egg metaphor is a much safer way to explore new possibilities than to just jump right into the career. So watch yourself, watch others, and start to ask that question, okay, where is this pattern showing up somewhere else? Where is this thing in my life, a metaphor for something deeper in my life? It's pretty awesome. So how about we do this? Let's jump into, I'll have a go at it with somebody. I'm going to try to do it pretty quickly so that you guys have more time. And then we'll have different people do it. Just know this, sometimes, like I know in some of the recordings you have of this tool, you know, it's done in like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, which is great. It can be a very quick little thing too, meaning like 2 minutes. So I don't want you to feel that you have to make it a big, long, drawn-out tool. It can also be short, quick. In the course of a normal coaching session, I don't often start out with the metaphor tool. I typically wait for it to come up. For the sake of this, I'm going to try to force the metaphor a little more quickly just so we can experience and play with it. We'll see what happens. Is there somebody who is willing to do some coaching right now?
Sure. I'll do it.
Who's that?
David?
David. Okay. David.
Yep. Unless somebody else wants to do it that hasn't done anything or hasn't coached yet with you or didn't do it in the first one, that's fine also. I can defer to
you. You got
to
last
well.
Time, right. Is there somebody then?
Yes.
Well, I'm happy to coach sometime today too. It's Heather.
Heather, great. Okay. And Maria. Well, Maria, okay. Do you want to have a go at it?
Hey, hi there. Yeah, I would love to. I'm actually out of the country, so I had a hard time dialing in, but I'm here now and willing to volunteer to be put on the block.
Cool, thank you. So let's just jump right into it. What's an area of least satisfaction at the moment or something that you know, not quite going the way you want it?
Right now I think it would be, I feel like, you know, coaching is rising up to meet me or the all of it. I have people who want to be coached and because they've heard through the grapevine that I'm doing the program and I feel as though for some reason I feel like I am not up to the challenge of just making the business go. There are people wanting to do it. I feel like I'm actually good at it, and there's just something that's happening with me where I'm maybe nervous or fearful that I will somehow not be successful, or or I won't embrace it fully. Or there's just something, I feel like a little bit of a block, but I'm watching the magic unfold and recognizing the magic, because I can't manufacture people and their interest and their desire to be coached by me, but I just somehow am having some anxiety around it.
So just to the class, there's two things that I wrote down that I'm going to probably go for. One was, she said there's some kind of block. The other one was, I'm having some anxiety. And they're probably the same thing. Maria, can you help me with that? Is the block the anxiety, or is it something different? Or is the block creating anxiety?
I would say so, yes. Yes, anxiety, fear, yes.
So if the anxiety were a person, place, or thing in your mind's eye, can you allow it to just take form and tell me what you see?
Yes, I've thought of this. I've been trying to coach myself out of it. So it takes the form of a gray, a physical block. I see a large gray, big concrete square, and it resides in my heart space.
So is it actually made out of concrete?
It looks concrete. It's dark. I can't quite gather if it is concrete, but it's similar to that. And, you know, that's what it's a little vague, you know, I've been trying to connect to it, and it's this gray square block.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I use the word block, because when I, yeah.
Yep. So I'm just going to talk a little bit to the class and then back to you. Now, I have an image of a big gray concrete square block book thing in my mind. And I'm listening and looking for areas where certain descriptors are really relative to the speaker. And one of them is, it's big. So, Maria, when you say big, help me understand what that means. Like, compared to what?
When I imagine it, it feels like it looks like it would be heavy, so immovable, almost like a say it's in my heart space, because it's bigger than my heart.
Okay.
You know, it's not
bigger
smaller
than your heart.
Than, yes.
Okay.
So, yeah. But it's heavy.
Heavy, yeah. Does it have, so my mind is going to an age. How old does this book look?
Funny enough, it's not that old. Not many years old. It feels, it has very square edges. I know this is going to sound crazy. So it's like a very contemporary block, not a worn block.
That doesn't sound crazy at all. And so class, occasionally, especially with metaphors, when they're, a lot of people will be in that place, kind of like Maria is right now, where she's also judging the metaphor, like, this might sound crazy. It's nice to just reassure them, you know, it's not actually. It's pretty cool that you're willing to go into this box. So it's very contemporary. It's appears heavy, squared off, gray, big, not that old. That was surprising to me, and it's in the heart space. I'm curious, is there anything written on the cover of this book? Title, author? Did you say no?
The block?
Yeah.
No, nothing. It's actually really clear and clean. No design, no nothing. Just clear, just nothing on there. Just smooth and gray and square.
What is it about this book
3D,
that...
3D, three-dimensional.
What is it about it that is troubling you, if anything?
That it's there at all. That that it's there, you know, like I feel like I need help to move it. It's heavy, and I don't know how to move it myself.
Okay, so you don't know how to move it, and I heard you say that you feel like you need help. So can you call in something into this image to help you move it?
I could. Yeah.
Okay, so just allow whatever wants to pop into the image in your mind's eye with this monolithic, big stone, contemporary-looking block of a book. What shows up that as a thing that will allow you to move this away?
I feel I can see effort. Like, I can see me just getting down, and maybe me, first of all, just getting down and just pushing, like really, I don't know if I've put a lot of effort into pushing it away. I think I saw it and I retreated. And so I feel as though, you know, if I go into my mind's eye, I just get down and push it. Or if I maybe get, you know, someone who understands the block or understands the block to just come and put some, you know, just some shoulder action and get down with me and push it away. I feel like I could, I feel like it's heavy, but it's so new that it can be moved. It kind of just, it showed up, and now I can, you know, if I really just get down there, the question is, you know, am I, how willing am I, or how strong do I think I am to be able to push it? I haven't really tried.
Oh, okay. So, gang, I could keep going with the metaphor and kind of encourage her more to who are you going to bring in, what tools are they going to have. But I'm already in my mind like, okay, so she's got this newly written book. She's acknowledged that. It's probably a thought, and she said anxiety. So I don't know that I would keep poking around at this. At least I'm not going to. Maria, I'm curious, even though there's nothing written on the book, does the book have a title? Does it have a name? What is my hunch, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is that this book is a story, and it's a story that you have kind of recently developed in the face of stepping more fully into this coaching presence. And you can tell me where I'm wrong, but if I'm not, is there a title to this book? Is there a what's the story?
I could, you know, etch onto the big block something like, you know, I'm afraid to mess this up. No, I'm afraid to mess someone up.
So this is, that's a heavy book.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah. So what is, you know, in the metaphor you said, you kind of need to just get your shoulder under this because you haven't really tried yet and push this thing out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a way that you like to push heavy stories out of your life? Is there anything that's been working, for example, in this program that works really well for you?
I would say I probably look over the course of my life, and I would say that, you know, it's the just do it tagline, right? Like you know, push the fear down, step over it, right? Step over the fear. The fear is not bigger than you. And
mm-hmm.
There's a certain kind of gritting of my teeth and, you know, where I just have to do it. I have to just do it and not, I just have to do it. That's one. Yeah.
Okay. That's one. As your coach in this moment, I get that kind of like, yes, there's an anxiety here. And you also earlier acknowledged that people are coming to you for coaching, that you think you're doing pretty well at it. And so maybe this is an instance where it's, in spite of the fear, keep coaching. That's what I'm hearing you say now. Is that accurate? Is that what you're suggesting you do in this moment?
In this moment, it's the block is there, but, you know, I have to just keep going, and, you know, that will, don't stop because of the block, but just keep going. The block, you know, I could physically see it getting smaller and smaller in my head, right? I can see it shrinking if I just keep going. I just have to keep going, and I have to, you know, just keep working on the motivation to keep going and not let the block stop, I think.
Well, I'm going to, okay, so, and now I'm just going to suggest something, and you see how it feels, and then we'll assess. So my mind was going to, okay, there's a story, which is I'm going to mess someone up, which is creating some mild anxiety when stepping more fully into coaching. My mind was going to, I think it might be worth doing the work on that thought. That's a form of heavy lifting. You know, you're working through it. Your suggestion was to keep coaching in the face of that anxiety, which may or may not relieve the anxiety. But one of the things that I think especially if it's a new book, will help alleviate the anxiety is that as you continue to coach others in the face of that concern, that you actively seek evidence for how and why you did mess people up. So you get on a coaching call with your coaching buddy and they say, oh, I got some relief. Well, in an instant like that, did you mess them up? No. You provided relief. So you're actually celebrating success after success. And my hunch is that's what I'm hearing you say behind just keep going. Or at least that's what I would hope you would do while you keep going. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes. Yes. I get that completely. Yeah.
Is doing the work on this thought, I'm going to mess people up, something that you're willing to do?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. So that's another form of lifting. So we've got two forms of lifting. One is celebrating success. The other is working on this thought. I'm going to ask you to come up with one more possibility for how you can lift this thought up and out of your heart space.
I'm a fact finder by nature.
Okay.
And I feel as though, you know, if I felt more secure in the knowledge that I'm acquiring, meaning, you know, lots of repetition and increasing my practice of the tools,
mm-hmm.
consciously doing that, I know that I will feel a lot better about not winging things, right? And that whole contributing to that thought, I'm going to mess someone up or not necessarily help them in the way that I can because I'm not as, you know, just, you know, I don't have as much facility, right, like to move
mm-hmm.
within the tools as I would like. And so I think that if I were to just, you know, I'm intuitive by nature. And so if I were to just keep practicing, right, like keep just going over and over and over, because that's a way that, you know, become comfortable for me, then I would feel a lot better about what I'm doing and the block could move away.
Awesome. So may I add something to that?
Yes.
I totally encourage you to do that. And is there a place where you can coach somebody while at the same time giving yourself permission to mess up until you feel confident with the tool, that is? Or is there a way you can do it with the people you're working with now?
I think so. I'm trying to think of the number of people who have either been coaching or who've asked for me to just add them. But I mean, there's always my cohort, and I have a great practice group. And so I could do it that way. And I could do it, I could do it with some family members. So, yes, there is a place, but I think I'm uncovering or reconfirming an aspect of myself that I will need to work through with coaching as well, and that's the perfectionist tendency. So
I will
definitely do it with family members. I've been a little more hesitant, but I know that they would be open and just working with me and letting me mess up, not even knowing that I'm messing up, but
and let me remind you a couple of things. Coaching is not therapy, so while people may come to you with some baggage or even emotional issues, we're not there to offer therapy, right? So being really clear about that at the beginning and what you're working on is going to help protect you from deepening them in their suffering. Another thing I think that's tremendously helpful, especially as you're learning a new tool, because as a coach, you're going to continue to learn new tools long after this program. You tell your client, I got this new tool. I'm just learning it. You want to give it a try? We'll see what happens. If at any point it feels awkward to you or it feels like this isn't the right way to go, I want you to say something to me. And if at any point we start going into it, I start to feel like I don't quite have the hang of it the way I thought I did, I'm going to stop it. Knowing that, are you still willing and interested in going into this tool with me? Right? Make agreements like that. For me, it's like hugely freeing. And it allows me to practice new tools all the time with people before I've reached mastery with them. And, you know, they agree to it. So it's all good. Does that help?
I just had a ding, 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 ding. Yes, it does. I did have a ding, ding, ding moment. Like, it literally went off for me that The
describe the ding
block,
ding. No, I'm just kidding.
Ding, it was like ding, ding,
double
ding, ding, ding as you were talking. It was funny. But I had that moment because I had a sense of the block beginning to build when I was talking to a young woman who had been referred to me. And in my mind, it was very clear, and I even talked to her about it, that she needed to engage in therapy.
Yeah.
And you know, something happened where, you know, I encouraged her towards that direction and, you know, identified some things that she could work on through coaching, but, you know, felt like that her primary goal of just working through some of the issues was through therapy. And she said, I can't really afford it and I'm not sure. And I could feel like this sense of her, you know, really wanting and hoping that I could be helpful to her. And I think that that was, I got off the phone with her and I thought to myself, that was where the block began. It began to build because I felt like I was holding, you know, on one hand, there was the message of holding space for your client and wanting to hold space. And then it was, you know, how do I want clients. I need clients. She's looking to me as someone who can be really helpful. She's a, you know, but I don't know that, you know, I just felt a certain responsibility in the block. Yeah. That I can honestly say that was where the block came up. And so it was funny that you just said, you know, coaching is not therapy.
Yeah. That's awesome. Brilliant awareness. And if I were to put some of what you said in my own words, I mean, you already called yourself intuitive. You recognize that about yourself. And so clearly with this woman, you intuited, like, there's a bit of a boundary here, and I have to name what it is so you understand what I can do and what I can't do. And that was fantastic that you did that. And then, and at least as a coach, I get in this position a lot where it's clear that the person coming to you is putting a lot of faith into what they think you can do for them.
Yeah.
I have to remind myself to stay grounded in myself in those moments and say, I can only do what I can do for you, and I can't make certain promises. No, and again, knowing that, I'm willing to either play or to not play with you in this arena, and we can assess daily. At the end of each session, I go, so how was that for you? What worked well? What didn't? Does this still feel aligned with what you're looking for? And then I also ask myself that. Is this person asking or needing something that I can provide, or are they asking and needing something that really requires a different type of professional? And sometimes I have to stop in the middle of, not in the middle of a coaching session, but let somebody buys a package of coaching sessions. I have said, you know what? I really want to help you, and I think the best way I can help you is to get, you know, refer you to a few people or seek somebody who can better serve what you're looking for, because it's not my area of expertise. And that can be the most compassionate thing that you can offer, both for you and them. So I'm glad you got the ding, ding, ding.
Thank you. That was very, very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, everybody. You just sometimes don't know where or how the metaphor tool is going to go. We started with the block, the book in the heart space. I asked her to describe it. I got curious about it. She kind of wanted to move it out there. I asked her to imagine a way to move it out there. I'm saying this now. I realized I had like images popping in my head about how she was going to move it out there. I had actual expectations of what she was going to say. I was wrong. I'm okay with being wrong. She wanted to shoulder it and push it out. I noticed in myself a little piece of me come up, like, you know, she of judgment. Like, is she trying to just force this away or force this out? Okay, Michael, that's your judgment. Hold, put it to the side for a second. You know, she knows herself better than you do. Go back into it with her. And then I kind of stopped the metaphor tool at that point and offered a few thoughts and ideas that I had about it, and knowing she's a coach, like, would the work on it? Would this work on it? And then you saw how the rest went. So that was a little bit of my behind the scenes, what was going on in my head. Any questions about how to do it, set it up, what we're looking for before I hand it over to Heather and someone else?
I got a quick question. It's Robin.
Hey, Robin.
If the client just can't come up with an idea of what they want to do with this thing, let's say Maria just, like, I just don't know what to do with it, where might you go?
What don't you like about it? And you probably think you've already asked that question, but if you don't like something, well, then what do you want to do about that thing you don't like? They might say, I just want to obliterate it. I want to get rid of it. I don't like it.
But I don't know how and where might you go with that.
That's okay. It's kind of hard in this context without actually being in it.
Okay.
I think I would just in the context that I'm creating from your suggestion, I can think of two things that I might do. I'm not going to suggest a metaphor for them, if that's a thought. I'm not. I'm going to try to create a little bit of space. And also I'll say, okay, let's just put that to the side right now. I don't know. And just ask more questions about the actual thing that they see and suggest they allow whatever wants to show up in this image to show up. And very often when I do that, something shows up that's contrary to the thing that's troubling them. Care of it. And then I'll just say, tell me what's happening to it. Like, they're sharing the movie in their head with me.
So just a little more.
Yeah, or I might even go into, okay, so if I don't know, walked on stage, what does that look like? Make the block, the second block that they're having, there's the problem, and then there's I don't know how to solve the problem. Let that become something. And if I'm completely, like, dumbfounded myself, I might say, let's take a break with this metaphor for a second. I want you to tell me what's going on for you now. Just drop the metaphor. It's okay. What's that feeling of I don't know all about? Where are you feeling that in your body? And then maybe go into the work. And that's I guess I keep harping on this because it was my personal challenge with the metaphor tool, verbally like this, was that I thought if I didn't keep going and going and going till I got through the metaphor that I failed somehow. And sometimes I would force it in such a, like, it just got ugly and bad. It wasn't working at all. Until I started to give myself permission to stop and step out of it and remember that I'm there for the client. And if I don't get the metaphor tool, I don't get the metaphor tool. No big deal. Once I was able to give myself just that little bit of permission to get lost, it actually was the very thing that allowed me to reground myself and find a way. And I think that's true, guys, with every tool that you learn. Sometimes it just gets confusing. Sometimes it gets unclear. Sometimes you're not sure what the hell's going on. Be honest with yourself about that first and take a little step back and then find a place to start again that feels good and safe for both of you. Does that help?
That's good.
Cool. Yeah. I, as coaches, we get into the, maybe I'm generalizing, but it's not uncommon to get to that place where it's like, we take it super duper serious and we can never make mistakes because we're going to destroy this person's life. You're not, right? Worst thing that can happen to you is that the client feels like it's not working for them and they go find someone else. And it's not that, it's not the worst thing. Yeah. So anyway, Heather, you still up to go?
Yep. Yep, for sure.
Is there someone else who is willing to be coached?
I'm willing to be coached if no one else wants to. I'm Annalie.
Anyone else? I'm just going to ask anyone else simply because you were on last week, and I just want to make sure we cover as many people as possible. If not, thank you very much.
I would as well, but I'm also in the same position.
That David. How about you, Robin? Are you willing to go since you just spoke up?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm going to let Heather take over, but let's try to find an area of challenge that's not gigantic. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Robin.
Hi, Heather.
Hey. I'm going to be super upfront and honest. I'm a little bit nervous right now, and hopefully by saying that, it will just dispel that. It's my first time trying this tool, and I get a little nervous in front of the group. So having said that, I'm super stoked to coach you.
Excellent. I have always enjoyed your coaching, and you've never messed me up.
So when Michael just mentioned something, yeah, not gigantic, but is there anything that popped into your mind as something you'd like to work on?
Yes, and I don't know if it's not gigantic, but the thing that popped up for me is I started a new job last week, which I'm really excited about, and I found myself having these things coming up for me like, well, now that I'm spending time doing that, I don't have enough time for everything else in my life. I had to cancel buddy coaching sessions last week, and all of a sudden, instead of doing like 4 coaching sessions in the week, I did 1, and I'm like, oh, wow, am I just not a coach anymore? And I'm getting slammed with paperwork in lots of different areas of my life, and my son and other things and like taxes coming up. And it's just like, wow, now I'm committing all this time to this job. Where's the time for the rest of it? And that's crazy. I know that's not true, but it's been dominating my thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, two things jumped out for me, so I'll just share back with you and we'll see where we take it from there. So one thing, you know, obviously the big new job, but then something else that caught my ear was just, am I just not a coach anymore? That felt sort of heavy and loaded. So are there one of those two areas that you feel would be a better fit for moving forward?
Well, it's really important for me to be able to.
It's
really important for me to be able to do both. And actually, this job, you know, they're flexible enough that I'm on the call right now. You know, I went to work this morning and then I left for my class and then I'm going back to work later. So, like, that's awesome. That's evidence that I can do both, but still those thoughts are coming up. Like, wow. Now I can't coach from 10 to 11 in the morning like I used to on Tuesday. So what am I going to do? How am I going to work that out? How am I going to get enough practice? How am I going to take on new clients? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Perfect. Well, that just feels naturally. That just sort of led me to, would there be an animal, place, or thing that would pop into your mind when I just talk about your new job? Does any image or symbol pop up for you with just the new job?
Yeah. The new job is all about sending stuff out in boxes. So the box just kind of came into my mind, a cardboard box.
Okay. Cardboard box. If I'm pausing here, I'm just taking notes. So sending stuff out in boxes is what came up. Okay, so cardboard box is your image. So just describe it for me.
It's about 2 feet by a foot by 8 inches tall. A square cardboard box.
Okay.
Full of loose, rattly parts.
Sorry, full of loose what?
Rattly parts.
Rattly parts.
Yeah, that's what's inside. It's a bunch of
Hedda, can I stop you for a second?
Yeah, sure.
So something I noticed when I was coaching Maria, I was getting really caught up in making sure I took the notes down, and then I stopped because I noticed I wasn't actually paying. She was telling me. I was more focused on making sure I wrote everything down. So, and you're doing great so far, by the way, and I don't know where you feel with that. I just want you to notice if that's coming up in you, because as I hear you repeating back what he's saying, if it's you out to write down what he's saying, I would also invite you to consider just not worrying about the notes so much and really being with him with that image. It's up to you, Phil.
Okay.
You know you better than me, so go for it.
Yeah, no, that's a good thank you. Okay, so we've got this cardboard box, and just tell me if I'm getting any of this wrong. So we've got this cardboard box. It's 2 feet by 1 foot by 8 inches tall. It's full of all these loose, rattly parts.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about it? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Like, are there any emotions associated with it?
I'm intrigued by it.
Okay. Say more.
I'm curious about what's inside. I want to know about what to do with it and what the process is. It's not that it feels scary, but it feels like, this needs my full attention.
Mm.
And if I don't give this my full attention, then I won't be doing a good job of it. And then I noticed that I'm having thoughts like, but if I give this my full attention, then that's all I can muster.
So this is just popping up for me. Tell me where I'm wrong. But since we started with the new job and what you just said really felt to me like if you don't give this job 100%, then everything else is going to fall apart. Is that true?
I wouldn't even think about it in a percentage. It's just sort of like, I need to be really present and focused on learning and absorbing the information about the box and the pieces and what's happening with it. So that means I need to just be really, really focused.
Yeah. Well, would you be willing to play with the box for a moment? Because earlier you said something about, I can't remember your exact word, about being intrigued, and then you were curious about what was inside of it. And I wonder if you would be willing to open it and look inside and just see if anything shows up for you.
Okay.
Yeah, so just imagine yourself doing that and let us know what you hear or see.
Well, the image I'm getting is literally like what I've been working with, which is just these hundreds of little pieces. So I'm actually seeing, just visualizing the actual things inside the box that I have been working with for a few days now, which
so they're actually,
I've never seen.
Right.
They're the real pieces, and I've never seen them in action. And I can surmise how they work, and I know what they are, which is the connectors that connect wiring systems together. So it's a box full of connectors. And one of the things that I love about this job is that I'm sending out connectors all over the country. And that somehow seems to match up perfectly with what I want to be doing in coaching, is helping people developing connections with themselves and with others. So it seems like a perfect thing to be boxing up and sending out.
That's pretty cool. I wonder how this box could, all these connectors, this new job in general, how it could actually help with your coaching rather than hinder it. Looking at all these connectors, can you see the possibility of it actually working for you?
Well, I already have some really solid evidence of that.
Brilliant. Can you share that?
By being on the phone right now, because I told the boss I'm doing this course, and he said, that's great. I want to hear all about it. And, of course, you can be on the phone from 10 to 11:30 on Monday.
Yeah, so that's one piece of evidence. That's awesome. Are there any other pieces of evidence that come to you right away with how this is actually potentially a good thing or working for you?
The hours of this job fit exactly with what I have been looking for, which is being able to get my kids to and from school, and I can still even get an hour of coaching practice at the end of the day on some days, or even take on a client at the end of a weekday. Because my work ends at 4 or 4:30, and then I have some time at the end of the day. You know, which is sort of why, in the first place, I said, I know this isn't true, that I don't have enough time, because I have already assembled these pieces of evidence going into it. Like, wow, there is this time. But I think it's part of the newness of it, of switching up my daily routine, which was so much of like, okay, I can focus some of my time on learning coaching and practicing coaching, and I can focus the rest of my time on, okay, I got to find some other income. And now that I've found that income, but it eats into the coaching time, I'm just trying to figure out how to get everything rebalanced.
Yeah. Can I talk to Michael and the gang for a sec?
Please.
Wouldn't mind a little bit of direction. At this point, should I go back into the metaphor and keep going? Because it seems like, you know, he basically kind of gets how it's good for him in a lot of ways, but there's still, like, the stress of there's a lot happening in his life. So would your sense be that I should go back to the boxes or try, like, there might be just, you know, the work might help if he's got some painful thoughts that are stopping him from being able to sort of integrate it all. Anyways, I just wanted to coffee talk.
Yeah, personally, I'd fire him as a client because he's a pain in the ass. Nah, Robin, you know
what? But I love him.
I do too.
I'm hanging up right now.
Yeah. No, you know what? He gave this really beautiful metaphor, and you picked up on it right away, this connectors, right? So, and you were asking the question in a bunch of different ways. And because I had the benefit of getting to listen to you, where I landed with it right now is, Robin, when you go to this place of feeling that there's not enough time, you're actually disconnecting. So what are the tools or the things that you can do to reconnect? One of them, Heather led you through, which was find evidence for where you actually do have enough time. Can you name another form of connection that you know to work for yourself? So when you get in that place of, I don't have enough time, there's a little anxiety and fear there. What's a connection tool?
Well, I feel like I've already had maybe three conversations with people at work about coaching and you know, what it's all about and what I'm doing. And so opportunities to connect with those people, opportunities to connect with myself as a coach and own it and say, yeah, I'm doing this work and I'm also doing this other thing and I really love it, and get to practice talking about it with people who don't know anything about it, which is
so that's
what I've been wanting.
What you're doing there is what you're doing right now is the same thing Heather was doing. You're finding evidence for where you actually are making connections. Awesome. Let's categorize that. I categorize that as one tool, finding evidence, right, to the contrary. Is there another tool that you know as a coach that works for you that you could go to when you start believing the thought, I actually don't have enough time to do what I want to do?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that I've been getting lately, this kind of goes back to Martha's call last week, and it's just sort of like going home, going inward, getting grounded, going to that place of truth and trust and seeing what feelings pop up and just kind of trying to take a minute to notice those feelings and have the feeling, let it have its day, and then the loving kindness bit. I did that. What can I do now to honor myself? And I did that this morning before work, and it was great. And I feel like I went into work happy and excited to be there, even though early this morning I was having all these running thoughts about, how weird it was going to be, and how I wasn't sure if, you know, this is okay with me and this kind of thing.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, Robin, if you're noticing that there's a specific time of day that this shows up for you more than others.
No, it shows up all day long, and I feel like, it's a practice that I've been developing for a few months now of, okay, this is happening, let me address it right now. And I guess something that comes up is like, well, how am I going to do that if I'm in the middle of doing work? And, you know, I notice this is happening. Is it okay? Can I take a break? Or can I do that actually while I'm working? What tasks could I be doing?
Yeah,
you know,
I wonder if anything
I can do, or do I just have to get completely still? And I think I just kind of have to play with that. But But being aware enough to do it in the first place, I think, is challenge number one.
Yeah, well, I wonder, too, it might be fun, like you just said, playing with that because it's coming up off and on all day through the workday. I wonder if playing with the things that both Mike, well, you've really come up with, the finding evidence you talked about, you're actually talking to people at your workplace, and so you're potentially getting clients, which is pretty cool, too. But then the going inward, I wonder if there's some of that that you can do while you're at work, and even playing with, okay, do I need to close my eyes, or can I just take a breath, and will anybody notice? Do you know what I mean? Like just playing with, can I get in touch with my feelings, or do I need to go to the bathroom? And, you know, like just take sometimes even 2 minutes, and I know I've worked with you in the past, and you're pretty quick to get into your body. I wonder if even just playing with that at work and seeing, like, what possibilities there are, because you might be surprised that there's, it
yeah.
seems like your job is quite flexible in a lot of ways, and you might
it's
be able
quite
to
flexible.
Go in. Mm-hmm.
And it's, they have intentionally set up a low stress environment. They don't want people moving too fast in there and spilling stuff and breaking stuff. And
mm-hmm.
so I really feel like there is the space that I could just say, okay, I just need a minute here. And just step away if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Can I hop in
fast? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind, Heather?
Yeah, no.
Sure. Just want to make sure, because I kind of jumped in there more than I wanted to before, so I apologize for that. And Robin, too, what I hear you saying about them creating a lower stress environment and space for the employees, that, because I know you, is a reflection of your own intentions. You call that to you. That has been something that's been important to you since I've known you.
Yeah.
And it's a direct result of the coaching that you've done on yourself. You're doing that coaching a lot. So it seems to me to be a disconnect when I hear you say, I'm afraid I'm not going to get to do it enough. The connection that I'm making just from knowing you is that you're actually doing it a lot. And when it's not with other people, it's with yourself. And the fact that you found a job that gives you income and the lifestyle that you want and the opportunity to be with your kids and even space to practice coaching, it is a direct result and evidence of the fact that you are constantly coaching yourself, if not others. So
yes,
I just want to reflect that back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. And I feel like, okay, I just want to be intentional to keep it going and not let it go by the wayside just because I started something.
Do you want to have, does it help you, Robin, then? So another form of connection, because I keep hearing you, I'll look for evidence. I'll mm-hmm. drop in and I'll check in with what my body's saying. What about connection to other people? Is there room for that in this process as you work through and beyond the fear that comes up that you're not doing enough? Like something
that is probably sort of, that's probably the area of my life where I feel like I'm missing the most and want to create the most is connection with other people. So yes, that's really important to me right now.
Okay. Is there a very simple to start off way that you can give yourself that around this particular issue? Meaning something like, just because of time, I'm going to throw out an example. For 1 month, I will email Michael, if he's willing, once a week to let him know how this particular issue is going for me.
Yeah, sure.
And it's small, it's achievable, it's a form of connection, and it's directly related to the concern that you're not doing enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's lovely to have folks to check in with about this who are understanding and supportive, and as opposed to the other kind of folks who are just like, what are you doing? You can't do that at work.
Right. Oh, and, okay, so can you find somebody to do that with in this class?
That Heather would be willing.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I would love to.
So I'll let you guys work out the particulars. But
that would be easy.
The example I gave, I think, is one that works, the once a week email. But you guys find what works for you.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And I have one last hunch, Robin. You can tell me where I'm wrong. But I feel like a big part of this for you, like Michael was saying, you've created so much. I wonder if a big part of it is just receiving, like just being open to, like, is an awesome work environment where I can get my needs met. And, you know, like all of these connectors working in your family life, your personal life, and maybe there's some getting used to it and some working out the kinks in the next little bit. But I wonder if some of it is receiving the abundance and the goodness of maybe having your cake and eating it too, like having the job, having the connections,
yeah,
having the coaching practice. Like some of it could just be like, whoa, this is good. I accept this.
Yeah, total goosebumps when you said that. Receiving absolutely feels really key. And something that just I made a connection with there is that we do receive a lot of stuff. And so I've learned how in the last week to, what do you do when the boxes show up from the other company?
To
receive them.
I just got goosebumps, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I can literally go into the receiving module on the computer and say, okay, now I am receiving this shipment, and that could be a great reminder for me to receive.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you can receive, you know, my email checking in with you next week or whatever, and
yeah,
receive all the opportunities to go within whenever you need to be there for you.
Yeah.
Sweet, this sweet. So I'm going to stop you guys there.
Yeah.
Cool. Just because I just heard this, it's totally your call, Heather.
Yeah.
But a thing that I've learned over time is I make the clients responsible for checking in with me. Otherwise, before you know it, you'll have 10 people who you have to email 10 times a week to see how, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
invite him
totally
to check in with you.
Point.
And if you don't hear from him, then follow up. But I find it really helpful to make the client responsible for that kind of little extra.
Yeah, totally. Good point. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So quick feedback kind of thing. Heather, self-feedback. How did you think it went for you? Areas of, you know, felt good? What would you do different, if anything?
It was fun. I was nervous at first, but then I got more relaxed. And I love how the environment is, like, you do create a really nice environment, Michael, so I was comfortable.
Thank you.
Asking for help when I needed it, which I haven't been in the past, so that felt really good. I don't know. I probably wouldn't do anything differently because I felt pretty in the moment and honest. So I would probably be in the moment and honest next time too.
Great. And you so started out that way. I love that. You know, you talked about being a little nervous and you created an honest contract with him. It was beautiful. You had a really keen awareness right off the bat with the challenges. You named it as, you know, the new job and the story, am I a coach anymore? Then you went into the new job as the metaphor. I thought that was really interesting because he'd spoken really positively about the new job, and my mind was kind of dwelling on the I'm not going to have enough time. I probably would have gone into the I'm not going to have enough time. Doesn't mean I was more right or anything. Do you remember what it was that made you called you to let's make the job the metaphor?
Yeah, totally, because I hadn't picked up on the time thing yet. And I was just like, I had to pick from what I had, and that wasn't one of my things yet. Like, I caught on to that a little bit later. Otherwise, I probably would have.
Okay. But it worked really well, so I don't want to say there was a wrong. I just was curious as to what that was. Typically with the metaphor, the thing that you make the metaphor is the thing that's troubling the person.
Right.
But it's,
and I was probably also
show, though. Go ahead, finish.
Oh, sorry. I was just probably also trying to, like, get to it. Like, you know, how you feel like,
right.
Hey, everybody's watching. I got to just like, we got to get to the metaphor. And yeah, like I said, that hadn't dawned on me.
But this is a really good evidence for all of us in the class. Well, Robin will tell us, but I don't think he got messed up because she made a metaphor out of the thing that was actually working for her. It really, the thing unfolded beautifully in so many ways. And I don't know. Overall, I thought it was really great. I love how Robin just went into the connectors and all of that. So from where I was sitting, Heather, beautiful job. Nice to see you roll up your sleeves and just have at it. I really think that's the best way to get to become comfortable with any of these tools as well as ourselves as coach. So double thumbs up.
Thanks.
Robin, any how did it work out for you? How are you feeling?
I am feeling super excited to go back to work after this call, which is great, and just take these intentions with me. And I feel like that if I just approach my work in that way, then absolutely, you're spot on, Michael. I have been wanting this to come for me, and it has everything that I have been requesting in terms of my schedule and flexibility and the type of people that I'm working with. And to remind myself that is happening and it is what I want. And that I also do have time to do the other things and that I'm not in a rush to do anything. So that's brilliant. I thought Heather did a really great job. I have no critique to offer, really.
And
add something
about the pain in the ass. Go ahead.
I am a pain in the ass, that's for sure.
No, well, where I was going with that, I want to qualify it now, just because other people might not know that you and I are friends.
Well, you talked to my wife, and she told you I'm a pain in the ass, so.
No, I wouldn't believe it.
He has proof.
I
can concur. I can concur that he is a pain in the ass, too. Just so you know.
We're all on the same page. We're all on the same page, then. Where I was going with that, Robin, is that sometimes you don't see what others see in you. And I personally judge and view you as a man who is deeply grounded in his own integrity. And I've always admired that there's just some things you're unwilling to do and that you put your family first. And I admire that greatly. And I see you creating exactly what you want to create because you're willing to draw the line in the sand. And I deeply, deeply appreciate that. So take that.
Okay, thank you.
Well,
I receive it.
Annalee, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to. I thought it was really, really nice that you brought in your personal knowledge of Robin to affirm that he was doing the right thing and that he was actually doing much better than you realized. For me, it was very touching, and it brought quite a bit of depth to the session that is not usually there because the instructors do not know the trainees that well. But I just want to say that was really very nice for me, and it touched me. So thank you.
Thank you for saying so. And that's a really good lesson for all of us. You know, I really learned that from watching Martha, not from necessarily the training, because like you said, it's often not that way. But one of the things that I've seen Martha do over and over, even with people who she's just meeting, from her place of truth about what she knows about that person in front of them,
mm-hmm.
even if she's just met them and only gained a little bit of knowledge, and there's something so personal about that. And when you've worked with a client 3, 4, 5 times, you probably do know enough about them to share your judgments. And just to be clean about it, I'll often say, it's my judgment, like I just did. It's my judgment that you're a person of integrity, right? I used to not do anything like that because I thought as coaches weren't allowed that. And it actually was keeping me from my own truth in relationship with that person. You certainly don't want to tell people who they are. But you can, if it's coming from a good place, share your positive experiences of them. It makes it a much more human interaction. And for me, it's what makes coaching fun. When I don't allow myself that, it becomes septic almost, and way less fun. So thank you for acknowledging that and pointing. I think it's a good thing for us all to put a pin into and just notice and pay attention. And each one of us are going to have our own level of comfort with how to do that. Any last comments or questions before we hang up for the day? Okay, I'm going to post a thread for our next class, which we're going to be talking about the living space tool, which is another form of metaphor tool, but more focused on actually using a room in as the metaphor. It can be a lot of fun, and it's a little more structured than as it is today. Some people like that. Post that. You'll do what you need to do to prepare for it. Watch the videos, read the manual, all that. And I believe we're back in 3 weeks, so that is April 4th. So I will see you all on April 4th. Thanks for a great class, Heather and Robin. Thank you for digging in the way you did. And Maria, thank you for your willingness to volunteer. I'll see you all on the 4th. Have a great couple weeks. Bye.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much. Thank you.